You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, April 5th, 2024. This is Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com, wrapping up your work week. I'm once again failing to do a lighthearted Friday installment of the show, but nonetheless, hopefully it will at least be entertaining to a certain extent and somewhat informative. I always like to start off reminding you we have our Sven Longshank support links here on the Daily Nationalist. As always, I encourage you to drop him an email, a postcard, whatever. Let him know that we're still thinking about him. I got a recent email from Sven, and he is continuing to do well, taking advantage of some of the programs offered there in prison. And I believe he's going to come out of this thing of a stronger, better man. That is, you know, and that's a lesson for all of us through adversity and trials and time of trouble. All you can do is keep soldiering forward, and as you do so, you come out the other side better than you were going in, stronger and more resolute. So, yeah, looking forward. We continue to look forward to the day Sven gets out. And until then, we're going to continue to reach out and offer him our support. And when you're locked up like that, it means a lot just knowing that people are thinking about you and hearing from people on the outside. Well, for today's story, I've got a news story from Yahoo News. It's actually from the New York Times via Yahoo News, and we'll get into that here in a minute. And this, of course, is going in with the latest. We've had the latest outrage by Israel in blowing up this humanitarian aid convoy, which was in the process, had already been working with the IDF in communication, letting them know we're going through here. They got the trucks clearly marked. And one by one, they were all blown up and they were all killed. Now, Israel's had a few days now to get a story together, get a narrative together. We'll get into that here in just a minute. And also recent news, I don't have a story, but we'll just talk about it. The Biden people, this is getting so hard. It's so indefensible that, you know, the Biden people are starting to try to make some noise about they might sort of maybe start putting some conditions, you know, on this unconditional support for Israel. You know, I just read another story this morning from, I believe, yesterday or the day before, that the U.S. is already sending more bombs and more weapons. So all of this talk about, oh, well, this time we may actually start putting some conditions. I'm not holding my breath. It's just become so indefensible that the Biden people are trying to make some noise like, oh, well, you know, they might actually have a problem with this. Of course, TMR had to come out because, you know, as they always do, TMR came out. I believe it was Mike Johnson came out and said Biden's problem is he needs to actually be blaming Hamas for what Israel is doing. It's so obvious that the U.S. is a client state to Israel that it's not even in any way, shape or form, you know, a debatable point at this stage of the game. So let's get into our story here. And the headline is string of errors led to fatal attack on aid convoy, Israeli military says. Now, again, we know the background of this. This aid convoy was coordinating. They didn't just drive off in there on their own and hope for the best. They were coordinating. They were in communication. They let the Israeli military know they were going through here. And we know the outcome. Now, Israel has been demanding that no aid go in here. And now no aid is going in after this, because obviously if you're trying to send food aid into the Palestinian areas here, you're not going to send your people in just to get blown up. But yet you see the outcome being what Israel has wanted all along, We're not supposed to say, no, it was all just a sad mistake. A series of Israeli failures, including a breakdown in communication and violations of the rules of engagement, led to the deadly airstrikes that killed 7 humanitarian aid workers in the Gaza Strip this week, senior Israeli military officials said on Friday. Now, I'm sitting here thinking they were trying to come up with a narrative here, and they basically just went back to what did we use for the USS Liberty? Same, it worked back then. Let's just go back for it now. Same story, wasn't it? They're flying a U.S. flag. There's radio communications going, this is a U.S. ship, and they bombed, strafed, and attacked the ship anyway. Just go back to the place. Why change it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it works, why go to something else? The military officials said the officers who ordered the strikes on the aid convoy had violated the Army's protocol, in part by opening fire on the basis of insufficient or erroneous evidence that a passenger in one of the cars was armed. Yeah, that was the story this morning. The breaking story this morning is, when you boil it down to it, they thought Hamas was in the car. Now, this has been their excuse through this whole thing. Hamas. We carpet bombed the hospitals and killed everybody inside because, well, Hamas was in there. Oh, we bombed all these apartment buildings because Hamas is there. Anyone can look at the footage of this area and literally everything is bombed. And they say, well, but that's because Hamas was in there. And they just go back to the well once again. Well, they were just convinced that there was Hamas in the cars. The attack prompted a wave of international outrage and renewed questions about whether Israeli forces on the ground in Gaza properly vet targets before unleashing deadly force. I don't see, how is there a question about this? Vetting targets? No, they're vetting the targets and they're choosing to strike them. Common sense. We don't have to make this a complicated thing. Look, I understand, there'll be people who for some reason try to defend this and they'll say, look, in the middle of a war zone, these sorts of things happen. But what we have here is a systemic pattern. You have a pattern of this happening over and over. If you had all these aid convoys coming in and out, delivering food to these people who are now starving to death, let that sink in. And say 1 out of 20 failed to get identified properly or something and got blown up, you could say, well, it's a war zone. If you're an aid worker, you go into a war zone, you are taking a risk. We're being real here. You're taking a risk. But that's not what we have. Literally, this is happening all of the time. When the humanitarian aid truck showed up several weeks back, and they opened fire on the people coming to get the food, they say, oh, well, Hamas was there. This is a pattern. Now, we're left with the question, are you going to, believe what you see? Are you going to acknowledge this pattern recognition that your mind is pointing out to you? Or are you just going to, once again, choose to believe this story? Now, this notion that the U.S. is somehow going to really, stop giving them bombs, we're not going to hold our breath. I mean, seriously, it's almost like what they're doing is intentionally outrageous just to show the utter and complete control they have over the U.S. government. Now, I mean, again, how else do you read this? Can you imagine any situation where a party is doing what Israel is doing and the U.S. not taking more forceful action, at least cutting them off or at least making a show of cutting them off? And instead you have these mealy mouth words about, well, we might put some preconditions if they don't work harder. And then the Republicans, of course, come out and say, no, Israel needs to bomb more. Israel has come under increasing pressure over the high civilian death toll in its 6-month war in Gaza. The strikes on the aid workers prompted President Biden for the first time to say he would leverage USA to influence the conduct of the war against Hamas. It's not a war against Hamas. They're clearing out the Palestinians. Again, there's no other way to see this. Look at the videos. Look at the pictures. They're leveling the entire area. It's uninhabitable. What kind of toxic waste has been left behind by all these bombs? How is anybody even going to live there? Now, the U.S. is giving them this money. They're giving them this money. They're giving them the bombs to do this. And yet, you know, the U.S. acts like, oh, you know, the government, the U.S. government acts like, oh, well, you know, we might kind of sort of have to, you know, if they don't. I mean, you're giving them money and you're giving them the bombs. All you have to do is say, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. Regular listeners to my Parish of the Patriots program, you know that I'm real big on understanding that you only have control over yourself. You can't control other people. And as such, you control your own actions. You know, if the people around you choose to do bad things, don't get angry over it. Understand it and make your decisions accordingly. Likewise, in a sane world, the U.S. government can't necessarily control what the Israeli government does. They're going to do what they're going to do, unless they're going to go to war against them, and nobody is saying they're going to do that. You know, they can't force the Israeli government to do anything. But what they can do is quit sending them money and bombs. Say, okay, well, this is y'all's program, and you want to slaughter all of these people. You're not going to do it on our dime, and you're not going to do it with our bombs. So good luck with that. That's all you got to do. Instead of making these ridiculous demands that, oh, Netanyahu's going to have to ensure civilian populations are safe, they're threatening to invade the very place they told these people to go to be safe. When they attacked at the one end, they told them, oh, go to this city and you'll be safe there. And now they're going to attack there. They've leveled everything behind them. They're shoving them into a corner, and then they'll wipe out the last of them. I mean, that's the pattern we see here, is it not? All they have to do, all the U.S. government has to do is say, look, we're not going to be a party to this. If that's what y'all are going to do, we don't like it. We don't support it. And you're not going to do it on our dime. We wash our hands of you. That's all they've got to do. And if Israel wants to go on their own and continue to do it, then so be it. You don't have control over that. I don't think anybody is proposing that the U.S. should send troops in to fight Israel and stop them from doing that. We're so far away from that. That's not even on the table. And nobody is proposing that. However, you don't got to pay for it. You don't have to provide the weapons and the bombs, 500, 2,000 pound bombs, for what? Who are you striking? Look at the pictures. They're just carpet bombing everyone. And then when somebody complains about it, they say, well, Hamas was there. Of course, they don't know this. And they didn't know it when they struck this convoy. They just struck them anyway, and they just used that same excuse. Hamas was there. On Friday, the Israeli military announced that two officers, a reserve colonel and a major, would be dismissed from their positions. Lieutenant General Herzai Halevi, the Israeli military's chief of staff, had also decided to formally reprimand the head of Israel's Southern Command, as well as two other senior officers, the military said in a statement. The military said the quote-unquote grave mistake had stemmed from, quote, a serious failure due to a mistaken identification, errors in decision-making, and an attack contrary to the standard operating procedures. How is this contrary to their standard operating procedures? They're literally bombing the entire place. This isn't, as I said earlier, this isn't an isolated incident. They're doing this over and over. Again, if you had aid convoys coming in, delivering food, and 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15, 1 out of 20, got hit, you know, I would be willing to say it was a mistake. You know, we got a pattern here. The Israeli military is working with the aid convoys. They're letting them come in, deliver food. They're trying to find a way to not attack the civilians. It's hard because Hamas is, you know, amongst the population. Okay. You have these aid convoys coming in, and normally they get through okay, but this one time, look, I would buy it was a mistake. I would. I would say it's a mistake, but that's not what we have. We have a pattern. Over and over, they do this. That is the pattern. And now they want to fall back on and say, well, we just made a mistake. What about all the other times? Were those mistakes too? So you're left with the question. They're either, look, you have two options here. They're either doing this intentionally, or they're just 100% completely inept. It's one of the two, because this is happening again and again. It's a tragedy, Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, the Israeli military chief spokesperson, told reporters in a briefing Tuesday night. It's a serious event that we're responsible for, and it shouldn't have happened. Okay, well, what about bombing everybody? What about the hospital bombings? What about the when you told the refugees to flee to this area and you bombed the refugee convoys? Was that a mistake? And again, mistakes are a one-off thing. You know, mistakes are a one-time, one-off thing when you have a pattern of other behavior. Let's get some definitions going. I'm big on definitions. A mistake is when you have a pattern of doing one thing, but then you have a one-off incident contrary to that, then you would say, yeah, that fits the pattern of a mistake. A mistake is not when you're doing the same thing over and over. If your wife goes out and, like, for the 70th time this year, you've caught her screwing some other guy, and she tries to say, it was a mistake. No, it's a pattern. This is what this bitch does. This is what this hoe does. She a hoe. Just accept it. She's a hoe. That's a pattern of behavior. You got it. It ain't a mistake. You have a pattern here. A mistake is a one-off. A mistake is you have a pattern of doing one thing, but then you have a one-off incident where that doesn't happen. Then you can say, yeah, that's believable. That could have been a mistake. Not when the pattern is the opposite. World Central Kitchen, the relief group whose aid workers were killed, called the Israeli military statements cold comfort and reiterated its call for an independent inquiry. The aid organization's operations, which have distributed millions of meals to Palestinians in Gaza, remain suspended, the group said. It's not enough to simply try to avoid further humanitarian deaths, which have now approached close to 200, the group's founder, Jose Andres, said in a statement. All civilians need to be protected, and all innocent people in Gaza need to be fed and safe. And all hostages must be released. I think we're a little beyond that. How do you sit here and say all civilians need to be protected? Look, you know, the cow has left the barn. All civilians need to be safe. You've got at least tens of thousands of people have been killed here. We're a little late to say all civilians. Yeah, a lot of things should happen. But to sit here and say, well, y'all, all civilians, yeah, no shit, you think? But that's obviously not going to happen. And how are you going to get this independent investigation to do what? To prove what? Do you think the Israelis are going to sit here and just hand them the information and say, oh, yeah, look, here's the smoking gun that shows we're doing this on purpose, which you should be already able to tell anyway. According to the military, Israeli forces began striking the World Central Kitchen convoy at 10:09 p.m. Monday as the vehicles made their way along Gaza's coast. The attack killed 6 foreign nationals and a Palestinian, all of whom had worked to handle the food aid that had arrived in Gaza by sea. Like many aid groups, the World Central Kitchen had sought to ensure its workers' safety in Gaza, where, according to local health officials, Israel's campaign against Hamas has killed more than 32,000 people, and it's way more than that. I mean, they have no real way. When you look at these pictures of the leveled hospitals, the leveled apartment building, I mean, who's going in there and digging for people? You know, when you have a big earthquake and an apartment building collapses, you have all these people show up and they're digging frantically for survivors, you know, and you see them and they're out there with excavators and people are out there with shovels and buckets and we're in a race against time because there could be people buried under the rubble and we've got to save them. That is not happening because the bombs are still falling. When they say 32,000 people, it's way more than that. Way, way more than that. Because there's no way nobody's digging under this rubble. How many people are buried alive under this rubble? It's not like they have an orderly way where it's like, well, we're tracking how many people are missing. And who knows how many bodies are buried under all of this rubble? The workers had coordinated their mission in advance with the Israeli military, and the roofs of the vehicle had been marked with the Central Kitchen's logo. Despite those safeguards, a series of critical errors. You see, it was just a mistake. Led the troops to open fire on the convoy, according to the results of the military's preliminary inquiry. Drone footage, the inquiry found, had not captured the organization's logo in the dark. You believe, right? We're supposed to believe this. This is how, just the same as we're supposed to believe they couldn't see the giant American flag hanging on the USS Liberty. They just couldn't see the cameras. They had low-res cameras. Now, as far as I know, we haven't actually seen any of this drone footage. They could show us this, couldn't they? If they wanted to prove that this was somehow just a critical error, release the drone footage. Why has it taken this long? Just show the drone footage. You know, it's like, you know, when they release the police body cam videos, and then you can kind of judge for yourself. Only we're not seeing anything. We're just supposed to take their word for it. They just couldn't see the logo. Some officers did not review documentation showing that the convoy included civilian cars, and a drone operator had identified incorrectly an aid worker who's most likely carrying a bag as a member of an armed Palestinian group with a gun. In other words, they didn't get the memo. You see, they were supposed to believe that there was a memo floating around saying, hey, there's going to be aid workers here. Be sure you check your email. They're coordinating with the Israeli military to move a humanitarian aid convoy with food through here. And we're supposed to believe that this is basically, there was a memo and it got left on someone's desk and nobody was aware of this. You would think that, like, it would be a priority thing that the Israelis would make it a point that everybody knows, look, this aid convoy, this aid convoy is going through here. Don't blow it up. Oh, well, he thought one guy was Hamas. The drone footage, now get this, this is what we're supposed to believe here. If you start breaking these things down, so this thing about lies, when you start really critically examining what they're actually telling you, it quickly falls apart because they're lies. On the one hand, we're supposed to believe that their drone footage, and that they didn't get the memo that this was a humanitarian aid convoy coming through here. We're also supposed to believe that they couldn't see the clearly, and we've all seen the pictures of the blown up cars with the logos on the roofs. We're supposed to believe that their cameras were somehow so low tech, they couldn't see those logos. But on the other hand, we're also supposed to believe that they clearly could identify somebody. He just 100%, this guy looked like Hamas running around in the aid convoy. This is what we're being told to believe. And blown up with more than likely a U.S. weapon, a U.S. provided weapon. This is what we're supposed to believe. They couldn't see the logos. They missed the memo. But they could totally 100% tell this guy legit looked like a Hamas. He was probably waving a sign that said, hey, I'm Hamas down here. The seven aid workers arrived in northern Gaza earlier Monday to help deliver more than 100 tons of food aid, according to World Central Kitchen. Their trucks left around 9 p.m. and headed south for the group's warehouse, according to the Israeli military. Along the coastal road, the trucks met with cars who joined their convoy, according to the military. Shortly after, a gunman appeared to fire a single round from the roof of one of the trucks. Where's the footage? Let's see this gunman firing a single round. According to Major General Yoav Haravin, a reserve officer who oversees the military's investigations into potential cases of wartime misconduct. When was the last time they actually found anybody guilty of wartime misconduct? By the way, after the convoy arrived at the warehouse, Israeli drone footage captured what officials said were more gunmen at the scene. Now, they're in a war zone. I don't know if there were any gunmen at the scene, but you are literally in a war zone. And you're also in an area where people are desperate. I would go out on a limb and say you would expect some armed security here. Now, I don't know. Again, we don't know. We don't know what we're looking at. If what the Israeli military is telling us is legit, release all the footage so everybody can see and look at it and say, yeah, that seems like a reasonable call. But we don't get that. We just have to take their word for it. The Israeli military screened videos for reporters at the briefing Thursday, well selected. As far as I know, again, this hasn't been, it may be available on the internet. I haven't seen it, you know, but they screened the video. Just release the video. Let everybody go through all of the footage, not what you're picking out that you think supports your end of the story. The New York Times could not independently verify the military's video. In other words, we're just supposed to take their word for it. The officers were convinced that the scene they had witnessed resembled what they said were previous attempts by Hamas militants to seize humanitarian aid in Gaza, the official said. Hamas did not immediately respond to requests for comment about the accusation. It was Hamas, you see. They thought Hamas was there, and they were protecting the convoy by blowing up the convoy. I mean, what are they even saying here? The cars then left the warehouse. Three cars went south and one went north, the military official said. Within 4 minutes, at least one Israeli drone struck each of the three vehicles in the southbound convoys. They traveled south, one behind the other, killing all seven passengers, the Israeli official said. No Hamas was harmed in this incident, by the way. Some aid workers in the vehicle that was first struck fled to the next vehicle for protection, the official said. That vehicle was hit, too. The soldiers' decision to fire on the second and third car, assuming wrongly that they were also harboring militants. Also harboring militants. There were no militants in the first one. Also harboring militants. See, they thought they were also harboring militants. But there was no also here because there were no militants present. It failed to meet the Israeli military's open fire protocols, the official said. This was against the rules of engagement, Har even said. The fundamental failures, the official said, was that the drone operator and his commanding officers were unaware that the humanitarian convoy included not only the aid trucks, but also several civilian cars. They just didn't get the memo. The soldiers, uninformed that the World Central Kitchen had received approval from the Army for the cars, assumed that the additional vehicles were not part of the convoy and had been carrying armed Palestinian militants, the officials added. Now, this again, even, you know, they give themselves away with what they said. Everything is assumed. They're just carpet bombing all of these areas, and then they say, well, Hamas was there. All an assumption. They have no proof that Hamas was there. They're just bombing everything. Said, well, we probably got some Hamas there. So, you know, yeah, we're assuming this is the way the whole thing does. They're bombing everybody and say, oh, well, Hamas is there. As to why the soldiers had been unaware, Har even said that certain officers had not seen the coordination documentation. In reality, the cars were carrying aid workers. No excuses, Har even said, describing the communications failure. But they are giving excuses. That's literally this entire story is their long list of excuses. Critics have said the Israeli military has shown a disregard for Palestinians. You think? A disregard for Palestinian civilians in its campaign to root out Hamas, the militant group whose deadly attack on October 7th killed 1,200 people in Israel, mostly civilians, according to Israeli officials. Asked whether the military was concerned that more cases of indiscriminate fire had occurred over months of intensive Israeli fire across Gaza, Hagari said the military took pains to protect Palestinian civilians. What pains are they taking? They're not backing that up with anything saying, oh, yes, you know, this is what we're doing. You notice they say, oh, we're taking great pains to protect civilians. And they never say, okay, look, we're doing this. If they're going to great pains, they should be able to demonstrate to the world what exactly they're doing so that people can look at that and say, yeah, that's reasonable. They're taking reasonable steps. But they don't do that. They just say, we're taking great pains. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of people have been slaughtered. But we're taking great pains. Just take our word for it. Referring to the strikes on the aid convoy, Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israel, quote, deeply regrets the tragic incident. During a phone call with Netanyahu on Thursday, the White House said Biden described the attack on the aid convoy and the overall humanitarian situation in Gaza as, quote unquote, unacceptable. These people are dead, and the most you get is unacceptable. Now, again, the U.S. government doesn't have control over what the Israeli government does. They have control over what they do. And they're continuing to send them more bombs, more weapons, paying for their stuff. All the U.S. government has to do, if this is truly unacceptable, is just quit sending them money. Say, look, y'all, we can't stop y'all from doing it. We're not going to go war to stop y'all from doing it. Again, I don't think anybody is even suggesting that. But they can say, we're not going to pay for it. We're not going to give you the bombs to do this any longer. But they don't. Why is that? Why is that? Biden threatened to condition futures. Yeah, that's going to happen. Does anybody, not really, does anybody read this tripe and think, oh yeah, yeah, no, they seriously might totally cut them off now. Biden threatened to condition future support for Israel on how it addresses its concerns about civilian casualties and humanitarian crisis in Gaza, prompting Israel to commit to permitting more food and other supplies into the besieged enclave. None of that's going to happen. And the U.S. is going to continue to send them weapons, money, bombs, anything they need and continue to do. TMR's response to Biden saying maybe mealy-mouthed statement saying maybe we might put some conditions on all of this billions and billions of dollars we send and all of these weapons and bombs that we send you to slaughter people. We may put some few conditions on that if you please, if you don't please stop indiscriminating slaughtering people and maybe let a few aid trucks in once in a while. The TMR response to this was, how dare they? How dare they? They should be they should be joining Israel harder. They should be supporting Israel even harder and condemning Hamas. We don't have any control. You know, under the democracy system, we don't have any control over what this government does. But I do think we have the responsibility to at least say this isn't going to be, you know, I don't support this. As individual people, you know, because I sit here and it says, well, what difference does it make? You know, you sit here and you did a 30-minute show pointing this out, complaining about it. What difference does it make? The sad reality is there's people in this country who do support this. There are actual normie conservatives or whoever, evangelical, whatever people, for whatever reason, will still make excuses for this. And they share in the guilt of that. If you sit here, this is not a game. Look, the way we spend our time in this life, you know, it is much more serious, and people do things and they say things and they don't give it proper thought. They don't. They just think it doesn't matter. Like this whole thing, this whole limited time we have in this world is a game. When people come out and say, oh, yeah, no, Israel just needs to kill them all. They just, heck, I 100% support Israel. And they just need to kill all of these people. You're held responsible. Some of that responsibility, a portion of it is on you. Yeah, you're not directly going and doing it, but you have voiced, you have given that life. Does that mean you've spoken that into a reality, so as to speak? You have internalized, you have spoken it. You have owned it that you support this. As such, you have a certain, I will say, spiritual guilt about it. Even though you didn't do it yourself, you have come out and voiced and said you support slaughtering these people. On the contrary to that, it's important to say, to verbalize, I think, and to speak and to say, I don't support this. I don't support this. I don't support what they're doing. I don't buy their lies. I'm not going to accept their lies. I'm not going to pretend that the government is somehow, for some reason, they might not send Israel all this money, when we all know they're going to continue to do so. I'm not going to sit here and excuse blowing up people who are trying to deliver food to the starving. Now, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. I'm not going to join in with the lies. I'm not going to sit here and join in and make excuses for blowing up people who are trying to bring food to starving people. I'm not going to dismiss this as some sort of error and mistake when we have a pattern to go by. Again, we have no control over what the U.S. government does, and we know they're going to continue to support Israel because they're subservient to Israel. The AIPAC lobby, all the rest of it, they control the U.S. government. It's supposedly anti-Semitic to say that, but it is an obvious truth. And with stories like this and the continued excuses and the fact that the U.S. continues to send more weapons, more bombs to do this and more money to pay for it, it's a demonstrable fact. I think a lot of normie conservatives, they look and whenever they see films of, you know, they see news footage of pro-Palestinian, you know, anti-Israel, what they're doing, protests, and they're like, it's all these lefties. It's all these lefties. So they think they have to have a knee-jerk reaction to not to take the other position. But that's not using your brain. What's right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. It doesn't matter if you disagree with the lefties on every other issue. If they happen to be saying something that is right, I mean, what's right is right. It doesn't matter who also says that same thing. Does that make sense? Something is either right or it's not. Something is either morally correct or it's not. Again, while we don't have any ability to affect U.S. government policy, I do think it's important for our own individual selves, you know, to speak out and to say, you know, we don't support this. I mean, we can't change it, but we don't support it. And we don't, I'm sorry, we're not buying this story. We're not buying these lies. We're going to wrap up on that note. One of these days, I'll get back to lighthearted. To a lighthearted story on Friday. I'm trying, folks. I'm trying here. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I appreciate you joining us today. I hope you've had a chance to check out our great content this week on Radio Album. If not, hey, when you're out working in the yard or whatever you're doing this weekend, download a show, give it a listen. I'm sure it'll be worth your time. Enjoy your weekend. I'll plan to be back here Monday to kick off the work week with another edition of the Daily Nationalist. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.